Title lesson today is How Your Vision. How is your vision? Now, this is the last Sunday in Black History Month, and I'm sure we're all aware of why this is Black History Month, unless I need to repeat for y'all again. That's right. Say a couple of times. It's the birthday. But anyway, sorry. It was a lot of birthdays in February. I think I started something. I didn't know what I was starting when I started this birthday thing. But anyway. But, you know, I've talked about a lot of people in the past, African Americans, that have done a great accomplishment. But I think sometimes we forget about those in the present that are doing a lot of great accomplishments as well. For example, there's a brother in Christ, a disciple in Indianapolis, who is now the chief of police in Indianapolis. Which is awesome. Those are the kind of things we got to talk about. I mean, we have a lot of great people here. Leonard is a deputy commissioner for the city as well. Go ahead, put your hand in there, you go. I mean, we have a lot of great people, even in our congregation, that are doing great things. And so it's not just about the past, but it's about the present, which also leads us to the future. But there are a few things I do remind us, because the title of the lesson, again, How's Your Vision? I want to talk about a lady by the name of Patricia Bang. Is that me? It might be. I can just use this if you want. I'll just use that. And this is so, what did you say, Aaron? Boy. You've been dating 2 months, and all of a sudden, you know everything. All right. What was I saying? Patricia Bath, exactly. An ophthalmologist from New York, Patricia became the first African-American woman doctor to receive a patent for a medical invention. This patent was for the method of removing cataract lenses. With this invention, Bath was able to restore sight to individuals who have been sightless for over 30 years. Not only that, but Kenneth J. Dunklin was the inventor of the 3D glasses. I wasn't sure if you knew that. When you go watch a 3D movie at the theater, an African-American guy invented the 3D glasses. There are a lot of great accomplishments that have happened through African-American history. And I just want us to focus not on the African-American people who did it, but on how God was the one that worked through individuals to accomplish the things that are accomplished. There were three guys who went to lunch one day, and as they picked up their menus, each one put on a pair of glasses. One of them was embarrassed, and he said, I only need these when I'm reading up close. The second guy said, well, I only use mine when the light is bad. And the third guy smiled and said, I only wear mine when I want to see. Now, the real reason these guys needed glasses is because they didn't have 20/20 vision. Now, if you go into an optometrist's office, you'll see a chart like this one up on the screen here. And on this chart, you'll see line 8. And by line 8 is a red line by there. That's the 20/20 line. In other words, an optometrist will have you see 20 feet from the sign, and if your vision is good, 20/20, that red line will be the not right now. This is obviously bigger than what you. Oh, yeah, I got 20/20. No, you don't. Some of y'all are like, whoo. But oh, that was good. But if you could read that last line where the red line is, number 8, you have 20/20 vision. But if you have vision that's even better, 20/10 per se, you could read the line underneath that line from still 20 feet away. The fact of the matter is, why do we do this? Because we want to be able to see things that are important to us. Sometimes that our vision will, if it's not good, we'll wear contact lenses, we'll get glasses. I even got LASIK surgery done when I was in the fire department. Because in the fire department, they're not going to wait for you at 3 in the morning to put your contact in before you get on the truck and go. And you can't wear glasses because your mask has to be a tight fit so no smoke can get into your mask. So basically, they allow you to get LASIK surgery done at a very cheap price because it helps benefit the fire department. But over time, your LASIK will wear out with age. And so I got mine done a while ago. I ain't going to say how long ago, but a while ago. But it is now wearing out. So things like that occur over time. It doesn't happen quickly, but over time, it starts to wear out. So the question is, what is the vision we should have as Christians? In other words, what should the measure of a perfect 2020 Christian vision be? What is our red line for that 2020 Christian vision? The answer is Jesus. That's our red line. That's our 2020 standard. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Now note, this can be a problem for Christians. Why? Because we tend to see the Jesus that we see not as the Jesus as he actually is. Let me explain what I mean. It was a study of a professor who was teaching a class called Jesus of Nazareth. And on the first day of class, he gave a psychological test to the class. And the first part of the test was all about Jesus. So he asked the students to describe Jesus' personality with questions like, would Jesus prefer to go his own way or follow the rules? Is Jesus a worrier? These are the questions that he asked them in regards to Jesus. Then on the second half of the test, he asked the students in regards to the students. So instead of, was Jesus a worrier, he would say, are you a worrier? Are you someone who would follow the rules or do your own thing? And it was a phenomenal discovery he found out. The test revealed that most people tend to think of Jesus like themselves. The introvert saw Jesus as introverted. The extrovert saw Jesus as extroverted. The people that struggled with anger saw Jesus getting angry all the time in the scriptures. Whatever you deal with is how they started to vision Jesus. Because it was no longer Jesus as the standard. They themselves was the standard for Jesus. Instead, they measured Jesus by themselves instead of measuring themselves according to Jesus. That's what happens if you're not fixing your eyes on Jesus. Either Jesus or something else in the world is going to be your focus. It's going to happen. Now, if we take our eyes off Jesus, that can cripple our faith. Simple story we've heard many times. Look over in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, verse 22. Matthew 14, verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it is you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I know we've read this story time and time again. But it's a simple story that helps us understand what's going on. Peter sees Jesus walking on water. He's like, hey, I want to do that. Jesus said, well, let's get on there. Come on. So he starts walking out there. And he's walking. He's actually walking on water. The only other person other than Jesus to do this. He's walking on water. But then as he's looking at Jesus, he starts to see how windy it is and the waves. And he starts to look at other things. And then he just starts to sink. And then he just starts freaking out. Save me, Lord. Save me. Jesus, help me. Help me, Lord. Save me. Save me. Save me. So then Jesus reaches out, picks him up, and says, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Even as a disciple, we can doubt. As a disciple, you can get your focus off on something other than Jesus. This isn't just for those visiting church. I'm talking to all of us in the room here today. Looking away from Jesus caused Peter's faith to be crippled. But even worse, if you take your eyes off Jesus, it can endanger your salvation. There was a story about a deconversion. Now, you've heard of conversion, somebody coming to Christ. This is a deconversion, turning away from Christ. In an online story of a Christian paper, there was an interview with a professor who had walked away from Jesus. In an interview, the professor said that his deconversion wasn't an aha moment. Is something that slowly built over years. What happened? The article doesn't say, but I've seen it before myself. And so I understand probably in my mind what occurred. I believe he began to take his eyes off Jesus and started focusing on other things. As a professor, his schoolwork, his classes, all kinds of things he could have focused on. Because it didn't happen immediately. Once you start to compromise your convictions, it slowly starts to occur. Then eventually he found himself so far away, Jesus was not just not a focus, but wasn't even on his mind. That happens to us. You know, that's how they cook frogs. You put them in a pot with water. That's cool. And you sit them in there. And then they just slowly turn the heat up. And the frogs, they don't even realize it, but it's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. To the point that it's so hot that they're cooking. And then it's too late. Because if you set them in hot water, they're going to jump out. So if you set them in there and it's not hot, but it's just kind of mediocre, then they can just sit there and take a bath. And then next thing you know, they're bubbling and you eating them. Okay. You say, but I'm not a frog. Maybe not. But maybe you just kind of flirt with somebody at work or at the bus stop. The next thing you know, you see them every day, so you just talk to them a little bit every day. Not long, just a little conversation. The next thing you know, you're texting each other. The next thing you know, you're having like a phone conversation. Nothing serious, just hee hee. Next thing you know, you show up at the same place around lunchtime. Oh, what a coincidence. You know what I mean? It's like you're doing some research and then you come across a certain site you shouldn't see and you quickly click off. But then you go back to it the next day for just a little bit longer. Then you go back the next day a little bit longer. And then you say, I'm never going to do it again. But you replay it in your mind longer and longer and longer. All I'm saying is that it's not just going to be boom. It's going to be a slow progression that happens. Trust me, brothers, Halle Berry is not coming knocking at your door. Not going to happen. But that friend that you just kind of get along with, snuggle up, have jokes with, a little bit of coffee, Starbucks, that's going to become your Halle Berry, even if you're already married. Sisters, that brother that's just being nice to you, I'm sorry, not even a brother, just somebody that you work with. Just being nice. And all intentions, I'm going to bring them to church. I'm going to help them find the Lord. Would you like to come to church? Yeah, can you pick me up? No problem. And now you're riding together in the car on your way to church. But then after church, you got to make a couple of stops at the bodega, get something to eat. I don't know, come out with a bottle of wine all of a sudden. It's just a slow progression that occurs. Now, y'all know I'm talking to y'all. Some of y'all are looking at me like I was riding in the car with you. But you just get to a little bit of argument with your spouse. Not too serious. Y'all make up, but you don't let it go. Next week, they don't even do that. Just accidentally bump you in the kitchen. You're like, what you touching me for? Because you're still mad about something that happened last week that you didn't resolve. What I'm telling you guys, it's a slow progression. That's what happens when you're late to church, 15 minutes late, 20 minutes the next week, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. Like you're at an auction. Let me get 50. That's why we say you need to come on time. Because once you get into that habit, you're just slowly turning up the heat, Mr. Frog, Mrs. Frog, Kermit. You are slowly turning up that heat. And you're just going to start cooking. Guys, we want your soul to be saved now so you don't really cook in hell. We want to help you do what's right. So how can you tell the difference? How do I know if I'm like Peter sinking on the water, or if I'm like that professor who's now being deconverted? Look over in John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 40. For my Father's will is that anyone who looks to the Son of Man, to the Son, and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So Jesus says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and have eternal life. And notice in that verse, it's not enough to just look to the Son. He says, anyone who looks to the Son and believes in him. Okay, so well, what does that mean, to believe in him? I mean, we're all here because obviously we know Jesus. We want to see Jesus. We want to find Jesus. Okay, look over in Luke 23. Luke 23. In order to understand what it means to believe in him, first we've got to understand what it doesn't mean to believe in him in that way. Luke 23, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some miracle. Now, did Herod look to Jesus? Absolutely. He had been longing to see Jesus. He wanted Jesus to do a miracle. He was looking to Jesus. But here's the problem. Herod wanted Jesus on his terms, not on Jesus' terms. And that's where a lot of Christians mess up. That's where a lot of people who are studying the Bible mess up. Because they want Jesus. They want Jesus as Lord. They want to get baptized. They want to be a disciple. Well, then why is it taking so long? Because you want Jesus on your terms. Jesus says, it's only my turn. I'm the only one that died in this situation. You need to do it on Jesus' terms. But see, even as Christians, we tend to see Jesus as the servant instead of us as the servant. See, when it's on our terms, that means he's our servant. Well, once Jesus does this for me, once he gives me the perfect spouse, then I'm going to be fully committed to him. Once he changed my husband or my wife, then I'm going to be all out on fire for Jesus. Once he helped my kid get rid of them demon horns and get angel wings, then I'm going to love him. We always have a reason when it's going to start. But you forget, Jesus already died for us a long time ago. It already started a long time ago. And there's nothing wrong with Jesus wanting Jesus to meet our needs. Hear me out on that. He promises to give us 100 times as much in this present age. It says in Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So there is nothing wrong with wanting and believing Jesus to meet your needs. The problem is that when that becomes the main focus of your relationship with Christ, that's a problem. So hear me out. There's nothing wrong with wanting him to meet our needs, but if that's the main focus for what you do, you don't have a relationship with Christ. You got some demands you're putting on him. That's not a relationship. That's demanding, controlling. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 12. This is what he told the Greeks that wanted to see him. Because, see, a lot of people look to Jesus, but you also got to believe. And in believing, you got to follow. You got to surrender. You got to commit yourself to him. See, people want to see him without the commitment. And that's how most relationships in the world are. They want the benefits without the commitment. They want the intimacy without paying child support. They want to have all those benefits, but they don't want to have that kind of commitment of taking care of things. But see, we can bring that same thing into the kingdom. We want all the benefits of the kingdom, but then show up at 9:55 for church. Whoa, wait a minute. That's too much of commitment right there. But you want all the benefits. Look in John chapter 12, verse 20. Then there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come, and the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. When you look at that, they wanted to see Jesus, but all Jesus is talking to them about is following me and serving me. See, that's different. Most people want Jesus because they want him to give them stuff, do things for me. He says, no. You follow me because you're grateful and you want to be a servant. Look at what First John chapter 2. Look at what John says here. Everybody wants to see Jesus, but there's more than just seeing him. 1 John 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Forever. Look in James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4, verse 4. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Understand this. You can't truly see Jesus if something else is more important to you. You ever been around somebody and you're having a conversation and as you're talking, they just start... And you're pouring your heart out. And they're like, yeah, really? Are you serious? Girl. What message are you sending? This is more important than they are. That's the message you're sending. You know, the news told about a 15-year-old girl who sent and received in 1 month nearly 6,500 cell phone text messages. 6,500. When asked about her cell phone, she said, I would die without it. I can't even get into cell phone stories about with my kid. Yeah. But you know one of the things so sad is that something electronic could be more important to us than Christ. You say, well, that's for the teenagers. Well, do you wake up and check social media before you get into the Word of God? Do you wake up and look at Instagram? You wake up and look at all the things on your phone before you get into the Word of God. See, we need to break it down in reality here. There are people who treat God that way. I am going to get to you, God. Let me just finish what I'm doing here in a minute. Now, if you're pouring your heart out to somebody and you're in tears, or you're just talking and you really got something in your heart and yet they're on their phone, you're telling them they're not that important to you. So if we wake up and put the phone, social media, other stuff, and then we'll get back to God sometime in that day for a quiet time, what are we telling God? You're just not that important to me right now. Now, we don't verbally say that, but our life says it. So you got to ask yourself, why would God, who sacrificed his son, look down and see somebody that won't even put his son first, live with him for eternity, where there's no crying, no tears, no pain, no sadness? Why give you all those blessings if you say, hold on, Jesus, let me take care of this first? See what I'm saying? If you're going to say Jesus is Lord, let him be Lord. It's not like he's a good thing to follow. That's what Judas said, rabbi, teacher. But all the rest said Lord. If Jesus is Lord, let him be Lord. Now, let me close with this. Maybe close. It just appears a while ago. When Jesus is the focus of our life, we will all attract attention of other people. Why? Because they'll see that we're fixed on something different. We're not fixed on the same thing the world is fixed on. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, reaching people for Christ will be a driving passion for you. You'll live it because you're grateful to God. I appreciate what Nicole said. She had a lot of tragedies in her life, but the cross is what's kept her here for 30 plus years. I mean, she was a Christian at 3. I mean, for 30 years. Look in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 20. We read this before. Let me point out something to you here. John 12, verse 20. Now, there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Now, here's something interesting. Philip is one of Jesus' main disciples. And the people come to Philip and say, hey, we want to see Jesus. Does Philip take him to Jesus? Nope. He goes and sees Andrew. And you think, wait a minute. Then why did he do that? I mean, he's one of the big guns. Why is he doing that? Why did he go to Andrew? I mean, it just doesn't seem quite right. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Jesus should have just said, Philip, man up. Be a man. Why didn't you just come and bring them to me? Why you got to go get Andrew? I mean, but Jesus didn't respond like that. Now, look back in John chapter 1. Let me show you something here. John 1, verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Jesus came to Philip earlier and said, come follow me. Not only did he follow him, but he went and found somebody else to follow. So it wasn't that he was scared to share his faith. But for some reason at this time, when he was called to take these people to Jesus, he says, you know what, let me go get Andrew, and then we both will take y'all to Jesus. Jesus was not upset with him for that. There's going to be times where you feel like, you know what, this brother's faith is a little bit stronger than mine. So you know what, I'm going to call and get some help. There is nothing wrong with ever getting help in your life. Sometimes we think, that doesn't make me a man if I got to get other people. No, that makes you more of a man because you're vulnerable, you're real. This is exactly what the disciples did as well. We don't have to try to put on that tough person image. Guys, there are times that you just need somebody to help you. And that is totally fine. And that's what we need to do. We need to make sure whatever it takes, just do something. Now, last scripture for real. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says there, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. When you fix your eyes on Jesus and you just think and dream of all the stuff that could happen. I mean, like dreams that scare you, prayers that scare you, prayers that when you pray them, you're like, ooh, if this happens, my life will change. Those kind of prayers that you used to pray when you were a new Christian. You know what I mean? And then we got older and wiser and stopped praying those. Ain't nobody else said nothing but you, Valerie. Okay. Because we've all done that. Because life starts to make us see the waves and the wind. And we get unfocused on Jesus. And then our faith starts to shrink. We need to go back to praying those new Christian prayers. That we were saving our whole family. That we were going to just save the whole city and the whole town. Everybody around the world. That's what we need to get back to. Because even that as your prayer, it still doesn't compare to what God has a plan to do. It says you can't even conceive what God has prepared and for you to do if you love him. So you can dream, you can hope, and that still doesn't come close. Why? If we fix our eyes on Jesus, it's so much more than we could ever dream or imagine that he has in store for us to do. I want to call us today. Some of us may need spiritual LASIK to get our vision back, spiritual contact lenses to get our vision back, whatever it may be. Some may be sitting in the pot cooking right now. It's getting warm. You don't understand. Why is it heating up all the time? Why is all this stuff going on around me? Because Satan is on the prowl looking for someone to devour. So if the heat is being turned up in your life, you need to make sure, where is my vision? Am I fixed on Jesus or am I fixed on something else? What am I fixed on? If you're not there, guys, there's a simple solution. You read and pray every day, you'll never fall away. Read and pray every day, you'll never fall away. I've not found anybody who has been consistent in their times with God every day that has ever left the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. So again, as we close out, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. After that, anyone who has kids in the cafeteria, you're going to be dismissed to go get them. Everybody else is going to stand up. We're going to sing one last song, and then we're going to be dismissed as well. 12 o'clock leaders meeting in the cafeteria. Amen. Let's go to God. Father God, thank you so much for this day. I do pray that each of us can fix our eyes on you, that you can help us be what you call for us to be in a loving and an enriching environment. Father, help our lives to be the evangelistic tool that you desire, and help us to be able to fix our eyes on you and not let the world drag us away with the waves and the wind. And Father, help us to be the disciples who say, Jesus is Lord, that we live it out. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Parents, you are dismissed for cafeteria. Everybody else, we have one last song, and then we'll be dismissed.